You are about to hear unscripted accounts of what it's like to be a 911 dispatcher. Some conversations, okay, most conversations, will contain adult themes, and listener discretion is advised. The verbiage we share are our thoughts, views, and opinions, our reality every day we put on our headsets. We'll make you laugh, we'll make you cry, and I guarantee we'll make you say, wait, what?
Welcome to our minds. 911, what's the address of your emergency?
All right, here we are. Okay, wait, my drink's across the room. Hang on just a sec.
Yeah, get that.
Okay, it's gonna be so much better now. Hi, I'm Stacey Oliver.
And I'm Becky Freebush.
And we are 911 dispatchers. We wanna tell you a little bit about what we do and why we ask the questions that seem to annoy so many of you. Just know, if we're asking a question, there's a reason.
We need the answer. Just answer the question.
So, let me tell you a little bit about why I started this career. I was a stay-at-home mom. Mostly, I worked part-time while my kids were little, but my youngest was starting kindergarten, and I was just trying to think, oh, what would I want to do if I were going to go back to work full-time? And it just popped into my head, I wonder what it would be like to be a 911 dispatcher. And so I checked it out, and the city that I was living in was hiring. So I applied, and I went down and went through the process, which is quite a process, with the background checks and everything that we have to go through to even be able to do what we do. But when I had finally gone through my final interview, the lady that was walking me out looked at me and said, once you get started, you're going to wonder why you haven't done this your entire life. Because the truth is, we kind of know immediately when a new employee comes in after you've been a dispatcher for a while, if you're someone who's going to make it as a 911 dispatcher. That's what we call it, because it takes a certain person to do our job. And we can talk about that a little bit more. But why did you start doing this, Becky?
So I actually worked for a trucking company as a training coordinator, and it was probably a 100-mile round trip a day commute, and I was just sick of it. I felt like I wasted so much time sitting in traffic on the freeway, and it just felt like there was something missing. I was in my early 20s and was just like, oh, what am I going to do? What is this? I don't really want to go back to school. I don't want to do anything like that. And then I actually seen an ad online, and I thought, wow, that might be kind of interesting. But I was really worried. The only apprehension I had about being a 911 dispatcher was, what if someone called and spoke Spanish? I don't speak Spanish. How am I going to help them?
Oh my gosh.
That was my one concern.
That is hysterical with all of the things that we deal with. And that's the one thing that you worried about.
That was it. I had no idea. I'm like, man, this will be great. Not guiding someone through CPR over the phone, not any type of scary, you know, real life situation, not any type of anything over the radio. It was
anything of everything we deal with every day.
Right? I had no idea. I couldn't even fathom that. And I'm like, man, how am I going to help someone that doesn't speak English? Well, I only speak English.
There is an answer for that. So just really quickly, we'll explain that. We have a service that we work through called Language Line. And if we get a caller that needs a translator, we can patch them in with Language Line, and they will find us a translator for any language. I've never called and asked for a language that they haven't been able to find us an interpreter for.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of cool, but
sometimes it takes them a minute to find some of the more uncommon ones, I guess, that you don't deal with day to day, but they still find it.
Right. But, you know, if you don't speak English, you probably don't have any clue what we just said, so right. Share that with your friends.
Tell your friends.
That might need the help. So, you know, people growing up often think about what they want to be. Like, I had a nephew from the time that he was 5 years old, knew he wanted to be a doctor. And he's a very successful doctor now in his life. People grow up thinking, I want to be a pilot, a police officer, a firefighter. Who says I want to be a 911 dispatcher?
I don't think anybody that has a shred of sanity says, I want to be a 911 dispatcher.
I thought the same thing, but guess what? We have a coworker who actually used to watch, like, Rescue 911 when she was
a
child.
Take it back.
And actually, I know. Actually, thought, I want to be a 911 dispatcher when I grow up. So look, she fulfilled her dream. Who knew? Well, who knew that it's a dream?
I mean, honestly, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I've thought about that, like, well, what do I want to do this for the rest of my life? What? But I could not imagine doing anything else,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. Some days you go in and you're just like, why do I keep coming back and subjecting myself to the stuff that I do? But it's just, it's our deal.
It is. It's our purpose. Either that or Stockholm Syndrome.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
It's a condition.
Because we actually have an extremely hard job. And I'm glad that people are finally recognizing that. You know, we're on an emotional roller coaster every day. You know, we might go in and sit down, and our first call is a child who fell out of a window, followed by a rollover accident, then a barking dog, or a keep the peace for people who just can't seem to find a way to civilly exchange some property. And then we're dealing with a structure fire. You know, the phone rings, and we have no idea what's on the other end.
We don't. We don't even know if we're going to get a 911 or a public safety line, a business line. We don't know until it drops in our ear.
Right.
It's literally just a roll of the dice. You could have anything. You could have nothing all day long. It could be just parking problems, somebody's dog barking too loud, the neighbors have their garage band playing too loud. Like, or it could just be total shit all day long, like emergency after emergency.
It's just like a surprise party.
It is.
Every day. And then we dispatch the responders and give them a seat on our roller coaster because we don't want to do this alone.
Right? Invite everyone to the party.
You know, it's actually extremely difficult to find people who can do what we do. Not just who want to, but who can. It's extremely emotionally draining and even physically draining as well, don't you think?
It is, honestly. And I'm actually a trainer, and I have been for, you know, a few years now. And like you said, you just know when you're with that person, like, and I can tell within the first week, like, this person isn't going to make it. I mean, I still give them 110% because the fact is, I can teach anybody how to do this job. I can teach anybody how to run our equipment. I can teach anybody how to prioritize, run the program. But if you don't have it, you just don't.
Right.
There's no way you can train someone to be good at this job, I guess. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely one of those things. You can watch movies about it, you can read about it, you can hear your friends tell you about it, but until you're sitting in that seat with that headset on, talking to those people, making these decisions, you have no idea what it's like.
Right. And it's true. You know, we all are kind of meant to do something. Mm-hmm. And to those of you out there that do our job and maybe you're thinking of leaving, it just remember how rewarding it is when you do take that call that changes someone's life or saves someone's life. And if you made it through your training and you're a 911 dispatcher, maybe this is what you were meant to do.
Definitely.
And like you said, when you can't imagine doing something else,
honestly, I can't.
Maybe that's your answer.
Even on the worst days, on the hardest days, when you just literally sit in your car with no music on the way home, and I pull into my driveway and I'm like, shit, how did I even get here? Like, did I stop at that light? Was that a green arrow? Did I just turn? I don't see any police behind me, so I mean, I guess I didn't kill anyone today, but even on
I'm
those
proud
days,
of you.
When you manage to make it home, when you manage to hold it together, when all you want to do is scream, I mean, even those days, I can't imagine doing anything else.
Right? Yeah, shout out to Texas, Becky, for recognizing dispatchers as first responders. How much sense does that make? Why has this been a question for anyone? Because guess what? Anytime an emergency responder shows up on a scene, a dispatcher was there first. We answered all of those calls and some of those that you didn't even see a response on. I don't know how anyone thinks that we aren't an essential part of that whole process, when we are really the first link in the system.
It's true. I know they like to classify us as clerical, but I would like to meet a secretary that can do what we do. not to say that being a secretary isn't an important job. It is in its own right, but it's definitely nowhere near what a 911 dispatcher does.
And maybe there was a time, you know, years ago when it was more of a secretarial thing where they typed the reports and just took messages for officers, but it hasn't been that for a long time. And I'm grateful even Hollywood has started, you know, showing what it is that we do and how important that it is. Because we might not see the bodies, but we definitely hear your voices. And just like the I Am 911 movement has shown, they stay with us.
Absolutely.
There are calls I will never be able to forget because they were so sad or the person was frankly so rude. You know, you hear a mother screaming because she just found her baby not breathing. I call it the mother well. You can't forget that sound. And that call never gets easier.
Nope.
So I'm going to tell you a story, Becky, of a... And I would have told you this. You don't even know. Just the other night, 20 minutes before I was going to get off shift, a call drops in my ear, and this is what I hear. And I'm going to share. I'm going to try to make the sound that we hear. I first hear this. So you're thinking, okay, something's maybe really happened, you know? And then I just hear a version of the mother well. And it's taking me forever to calm this woman down and just say, take a breath. I need you to take a breath. I need you to take a breath. And finally, she can speak enough to give me an address so that I can begin to start to send help. And I'm like, tell me what's happened. And again, and the mother well, you know? And she speaks some words, and I think I hear the words, son shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking her over and over, are you telling me your son shot himself? Did I hear you say your son shot himself? And then she starts talking to someone else in the room. And I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? Talk to me. I need you to talk to me. And she says, no, my son shot his friend. So we've taken calls like this how many times?
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm immediately thinking, okay, maybe, you know, there was a brawl and, you know, I'm thinking older son, teenage boys. And I hang up the phone and I'm thinking, two mothers' lives just changed forever. Yeah. And one of them doesn't even know.
And I think that's, I mean, you'll hear coworkers, and I'm guilty of it too, like we'll joke about stuff and it's just, it's a way to deal with the trauma that we're exposed to. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear people, you know, make jokes about things like that. But when you stop and think about it, like you just said, it's not just her life that was ruined. Now her son's going to go to prison. It's her life that's changed forever by his decision. And that mother that just lost her son, it's her life that's changed. I mean, they were teenage boys, so they probably didn't have families. But a lot of times it is older, you know, adult people that we deal with in situations like that. So it is, you know, they were someone's father, they were someone's brother, they were someone's grandson, they were an uncle.
Yeah.
And it has a big ripple effect.
Yeah.
And not to mention the responders that went to that scene that have to deal with that family that's just absolutely distraught, the one that has to make that notification to that mother,
right,
who lost that child.
Right. Exactly.
It's a big, big ripple effect.
Yeah.
And I don't think I fully grasped that. Like, I mean, you hear about that, you know, watching movies or, you know, things like that. I could not even come close to grasping that until I worked in this field, honestly.
And, you know, it's been on my mind several times a day, and it will be for a while, and then I'll tuck it away with everything else. And I'll think about it once in a while because that voice will always be in my head. There will never be a time that I will not hear her say, my son shot his friend. And just the terror, the disbelief, I just can't even imagine the feelings. And yesterday, I just kept thinking, I wish I could call her. I wish I could just call her and say, honey, are you okay? Are you okay? You know? Mm-hmm. Of course she's not okay. But we're just kind of hoping that through our voices, you not only understand our part, but what it's like to be a firefighter, what it's really like to be a police officer. They take so much flack, but I can't imagine doing the jobs they do. I wouldn't even want to. And what's funny is when we tell them that, they say the same thing to us. I wouldn't want to do your job. I couldn't do your job. And, you know, again, we're all just meant to do something, and this is our deal. So here we are.
Yeah. I think that mother well, like, that's the only call that's ever stuck with me, too. And I don't know now. I mean, my son's 8. It's not like we just had him last week. But since I have a child, I mean, when I first started, I didn't have any kids, anything like that. And now that I have a child, I don't know. I don't remember the child calls affecting me as bad as they do now. I mean, mm-hmm. they always affected me, but definitely more so once I had a child, because I could put myself kind of in that position. And I think you always do as a mother. You think, oh my God, you say a prayer and, you know, thank God that it's not you and yours this time. But I mean, anything can really happen to anybody. And my call that I will never forget is that mother well. Like, I can still hear her. And it was 8 years ago. I know the exact day it happened. I know the exact day that, you know, they found him. This call, this mother, it was the same thing. Like, just absolute panic, just screaming. And they were out by the river taking pictures, family pictures. It was two little boys and the mom and the dad and the photographer. And the photographer thought there's a little, like, walk bridge over the river at this particular spot. And the photographer thought it'd be really cute to have dad in the back on the walk bridge and the boys down by the river on a big boulder, you know, in the foreground. Well, the little boy was 3 years old, just looking down in the river, watching the water rush over all the rocks and everything else. And he leaned in too far and he was swept away. And it was spring. It was actually April 28th. Was the day that it happened.
That's amazing that you still remember the day.
It was April 28th, the day that it happened, and the photographer actually had to take the phone from the mom because she couldn't make a coherent sentence. She couldn't tell me where she was at. She couldn't tell me anything. The photographer was able to tell me where she was at. You know, I got the call entered, stayed on the line until the first person was on scene, and, I mean, they didn't find him. They found him 2 weeks later on Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And I still remember the call from the supervisor calling to tell me, like, hey, I didn't want you to see it on the news. I didn't want anyone to text you and tell you. She's like, I didn't want you to be blindsided by it. But that is the absolute only call that has ever stuck with me. And I mean, I've only been doing this for 12 years. It's not like I've been here for 40, but that's it. That's the only call that's ever stuck with me. Like, and even now, like, I can see his little face because, like, they did, you know, a big news thing about it and everything, and somebody thought it would be a good idea to hang it up in our break room, the news story, and I'm like, take that shit down, I can't see it.
Oh, right. Wow.
So I just,
and you'll be 80 years old, Becky, and you'll remember that call.
I still remember it.
That will still pop into your head, every detail of that call. It is. Yeah,
I can remember the position in the room I was sitting. I remember who I was working with. I mean, just everything. But you asked me what I did last Wednesday for dinner. I can't remember that shit.
Right. Yeah. I think it's like that for any first responder. I think it changes you. And how could it not? You know, we're invited into the worst situations of people's lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah, at a prior agency that I worked for, there was a similar situation, a drowning. And it really affected one of the officers that we worked for. There was a family who had several children, and the parents had decided to leave and just leave all of the kids home. And the toddler got outside and got in their family swimming pool and drowned. Mm-hmm. And this officer that was the first one on scene started CPR, and he did what he could, but the little guy was gone, and he had his own little toddler at home. And he struggled for months with the memory of that call. And I'm sure he still does that day, to this day. We're people too. You know, we have feelings too, and people forget that. You know, if you encounter a police officer that's being an asshole, guess what? Maybe he just tried to save a toddler who was drowning in a pool.
Exactly.
Because he's on the roller coaster that we send him on.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're just having a dispute with your neighbor that you have no idea what he just dealt with.
It's true.
And maybe he's just an asshole because some of them are. We're not going to deny it.
There is that. Yeah, it's definitely, and I think a lot of people don't take that into account. And I mean, it is hard for people in crisis or their perceived crisis because, let's be honest, every week it's the same thing with some people.
It's true. It is so true.
But they don't take that into account. You can't see past your own worst day. I mean, probably 7 times out of 10 when we take a 911 call that is an actual emergency, it is that person's worst day. It's maybe the only time they're going to call 911 in their entire lifetime.
Right.
And then we have the people that we know their phone number, their address. We can damn near recognize their voice. And our center does over 400,000 calls for service a year. And we can pick the 10 of you that are problem children out from all of that.
Like, listen, Karen.
Yeah. Stop it.
I don't know. You know, years ago I read somewhere that being a dispatcher is like reading book after book after book, but never being able to read the last page. Because so many times we just answer the phone, we gather the information, we send the help, and we pick up the next call. You know, we don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, people will come in and say, hey, did you take that call on such and such yesterday? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. I had to move on to the next thing. That is our life, and somehow we're able to do that. What is wrong with us?
Well, for me, I think there's something fundamentally wrong with me, but...
Well...
It is...
That's what makes you you.
I know. It's part of my charm. It's unique how we can compartmentalize. Like you said, you just take the worst call, and you take a deep breath, say a prayer, be thankful it wasn't you and your family, and...
Yeah.
Then you move on to the next.
And then they pop out because the voices in our head are there.
That's
You'll
true.
Just be chilling, getting ready for work one day, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, this little call, and bam, that little officer-involved incident, and it's just there.
It is, and it's weird when it surfaces, when it doesn't, when it hits you, just the random times you think about it. Like, I don't know if there's something that subconsciously triggers it, like maybe a smell. I don't know.
Yeah.
They say when you smell something like, you know, certain smell, it brings back memories from your childhood. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
I don't know. Someone asked me once, what kind of person is a 911 dispatcher? And
well,
one thing that is evident is we all have really strong personalities.
Yes.
And that can sometimes be a hard part of the job. You know, you get 8, 10, 20 of us in one room. And that's a struggle day.
Yeah.
But it also takes being kind-hearted, having a lot of compassion, someone who's very emotional, with just a dash of sarcasm.
Just a bit.
Because we all have a little bit of that and a sprinkle of OCD.
Just a smidge.
And, you know, somehow we can turn it off when we need to, because... It becomes not about our caring side, but about just getting the information we need. Where are you? What's going on? What help do you need? And we send it. And this is why we're asking the questions, people. This is just answer our questions. Help us help you.
Exactly.
Don't yell at us. Just be kind.
Yes. Help us help you.
You might think some of the questions are stupid. Sometimes so do we. But we're required to ask you the question, so just answer it. Even say, I don't know. That's a completely acceptable answer. But just don't be an asshole.
Seriously. That would make my week so much better. You know, if I don't get called like some sort of curse word once a week, I feel like I just haven't done my job.
Oh my gosh, Becky. I can't tell you how many times I've been called a bitch in a conversation that just started, and I haven't even spoken. Other than my recording dropping and them hearing my voice, I haven't said a word.
One time, this guy called me the C word, you know.
Oh.
The C word you never call anyone. And I don't know. I mean, I got talked to about this one, but he was just being a total shit. Called me that, and I said, hey, you have to buy me dinner before you call me that. Now, what's the problem?
Oh, my heavens. It was That's awesome. It was one of the many things I love about Becky.
It was a supervisor that's no longer there. He's in another agency now. And he comes over to my console and, you know, was like, and I was actually pregnant at the time. So I was like, I'm sure I don't know what you mean. It's these hormones. I normally would never do something like that.
She would do that every single day.
You know what? When I no longer have to be
if she wouldn't get fired.
Right? When I no longer have the requirement for a job, I'm going to be the best half an hour of my life. Because I
Game on, people. Game on.
They're going to ask me to leave. They're going to be waiting at the door with a box of all my shit from my locker and be like, go. Just get out.
It is true. And people could never understand. Every day, every single day, people call in. And when you start asking questions, not hard ones, just like, what's your address? You know, they yell back, just fucking get help here.
Well, we're just here, fool.
And, you know, yeah, exactly. It used to annoy me, but instead I just, you know, pull out my calm voice and say, and just like, sure, sir, where is here? You know, I don't get it. I don't know you. I don't know your life.
You didn't call from a landline. We don't have your address.
You know what? I was just sitting in my console, minding my own damn business, and you called me. So if you want me to help you, just answer the questions.
Those are my favorite calls.
I honestly feel like society is just getting more and more helpless.
It is.
You know?
I seen this meme the other day that was, what did it say? It said, nobody can take 5 minutes to look up some important information, but they'll take 15 minutes to take a quiz to see what kind of potato they are. That is no shit.
Oh my gosh. It is true.
That is no shit. Like, you can't look up the phone number to the jail. You can't look up to see which police department offers fingerprinting during what days and what hours. You can't look up the non-emergency number. My absolute favorite is when someone calls 911 and I say, 911, what is the address of your emergency? And they'll ask, is this 911? No shit. I'm going to start responding with, no, this is Patrick. Like, do you live in a pineapple under the sea?
Like, right. I just, like,
these people.
We try to understand. I don't know. Here's one for you. I didn't take this call. One of our coworkers did. And it's a good thing I didn't, because I honestly don't know what I would have said. It went something like this. Can you have an officer call my boyfriend and tell him to stop talking to that other girl he's talking to? No, just no.
Tell him to stop liking her Instagram pictures. It's making me jealous.
You know what, girl? Move on.
Right.
That shit is going to keep happening.
Stop it. That's just what you caught him doing. Guess what?
Right. Right.
I love those calls too, truthfully. I know that sounds terrible, but I'm like, oh man, this lady is like really having some sort of dilemma over this. But I took a call one time and this lady was losing her shit. She's like, I'm in the Walmart parking lot and this man's chasing me in his car. This man's chasing me and my boyfriend around the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm getting the information and everything, and, you know, waiting for the officers to get there. And then she starts yelling at this guy by name. And I'm like, do you know him? You know, like, that kind of clued me in. Like, oh, maybe she's not giving me the whole story. And then she's like, oh, yeah, well, he's my husband. And I'm like, wait, what?
Wait, what?
Your husband is chasing you and your boyfriend around the Walmart parking lot.
That's weird.
Huh. Can't imagine why he's a little bit upset.
Oh my goodness. That is so annoying. Like, they call and they give you, like, this no information. Right? And you have to pull the story out of them. Just tell me what's going on. So I can send you the appropriate
assistance. Seriously, I don't want to play charades. I don't want to play the guessing game. Just tell me so I know what I'm sending you. Do you need an ambulance? Do you need an officer? Do you need none of it because you can online report this shit and quit wasting my time?
Right. Or... Here's an idea. Don't cheat. That's just my random thought.
I mean, or if you're going to do it, don't go to the Walmart that your husband frequents. Like, I mean, just, you know what? Do whatever you want to do, people. I don't care. Live your lives. But if you have to call 911 because of your shitty life choices, don't be a pain in the ass to me.
Right. God, that is golden. We need to have a poster of right. that somewhere.
I'm going to make a bumper sticker.
Will you please? Because I'll put one on my car. Here's another thing, you know, you said about people who call 911. Is this 911? And I think this is easy to understand, but maybe it isn't. And I just heard someone take this exact call at work last night. If you are in, say, the state of California, and you call 911, you are going to reach a dispatcher in the state of California.
I know this seems like a, you know.
Yeah. Your cell phone is going to ping off of the nearest tower. And no, I can't transfer you to another state. So don't be helpless. If you're in California and you have an emergency in Wyoming, take a second and Google that shit.
You're going to have to pause the what kind of potato am I quiz and Google Wyoming dispatch for yeah. whatever city you're looking yeah, for.
Exactly. What is a city of Cheyenne,
right,
Wyoming? Cheyenne, Wyoming Police Department. And okay. just go ahead and dial that number because that's how it works mm-hmm. these days. It's the towers, people. They're controlling our lives.
It's true.
Which we should be thankful for because seriously, cell phones have been a godsend in dispatch. Just the advances in technology, depending on your service area or your carrier, we can often map you to your exact location. It's still not like TV though. Please don't believe the crap you see on TV sometimes. But you know, before, if you couldn't tell me where you were, damn, I was never going to be able to figure that out. I honestly don't know how they used to do it back in the day.
Right.
Like if someone was lost in the mountains, how did they ever find them?
Even when I first started, and again, I've only been doing this for 12 years, but we only had phase one, which means nothing to you guys, I realize, unless you're other 911 dispatchers listening. But we have a phase one and a phase two location. Phase one is really bad. It's pretty much just the cell tower, but you can have like a 7 mile in any direction radius that it hits off of. So it's, I mean, you're going to die. You can't tell me where I'm at. You're at.
Yeah. Please pay attention to where you are.
Yeah. Simple things like, you know, those green mile marker signs on the freeway? Mm-hmm. They tell you in driver's ed, at least in my driver's ed class, was glance at those bad boys periodically so you know the last
time. They don't teach a lot of
at.
Stuff anymore. Like, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have kids today because this math thing that they're doing.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what that's about. Are you dealing with that? You're probably dealing with that.
Well, so they send home a letter at the first of the school year that's like, parents, please do not help your children with their math homework. And I'm like, what? I was mildly offended. Like, you think I'm stupid? Like, what? And then I look at him, all right. You're right. I'm dumb as hell. I don't know what this is.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what's happening here, but...
I don't know what this is.
1 + 1 = 2 in my
right?
world.
Yeah, no.
I'm not sure. But now, you know, now with the phase two, like Becky said, we get your Latin long, and again, depending on your service area, within seconds, your location pinpoints you...
Pretty much to the east corner of your house. Yeah. If you're, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's pretty spot
It's
on.
True. And be afraid, because I have a gigantic screen above my head on one of the 17 monitors I look at every day, and I can look and I can see exactly where you are.
You can even zoom in thanks to the Google Earth, and we can look at your house. Yeah. We can see your house address. We can see your neighbor's house addresses. So if you're being a little shit and dialing 911 from your cell phone just thinking you're going to prank us, you got another thing coming.
Holy crap. We had that kid last night.
Oh, God.
Calling over and over. And you know me. Like, when I got him, I'm like, someone is having an emergency and you're playing on 911. And he hung up. But yeah, we sent an officer over there. Little 9-year-old punk.
See?
You got a talking to. So kids, if you're listening to this, parents, let your kids know. We'll find you.
It's true. It's what we do. We're like junior detectives.
Because if you're annoying the crap out of us, we're sending you a party.
You're interrupting my watch party on my streaming service that I'm not going to name unless you're going to pay us. Or my crafting project. Rebecca. I work the graveyard shift. It's okay. It's not like I'm doing this in the middle of the day. But if you interrupt that with your nonsense because you're just playing on 911, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to send someone to find you.
It's not okay. And parents, they put this out a million times, but there are people who still don't believe it or don't know it. I don't know. If you did, if you have an old cell phone, it doesn't have service, but there's a battery in it, it will call 911. You give that to your kid as a toy, and they are calling us over and over and over.
As long as there's a battery in it, that thing will dial 911.
Please just know, there are all kinds of toy cell phones out there. Just go ahead and purchase them up one of those.
Or maybe we could just buy our kid a book. I feel like that could solve a lot of problems of future generations. Let's get a book.
God, that'd be a beautiful thing.
Right?
All of my kids love to read, and I'm so grateful for that.
Let's get a book. We can find something better to play with than an electronic device.
Right.
I'm like, my kid hates me because he likes playing that damn Minecraft, and I let him play it once a week.
Because you're a good parent.
Once a week. Otherwise, we are doing character building activities, like you're not going to be a helpless human being like your father was when he came to me.
Oh my God. He's going to hear this. You realize that, right?
I hope my mother-in-law doesn't hear this. It wasn't lack of trying on her part. It's just, man, he learns hard.
He's not going to help us anymore.
Okay, he already showed us how to do it. I had to teach him how to do dishes and laundry. When I met him, like everything went in the same load. Didn't matter what it was. Wife, delicates, didn't matter. I should have washed on the same, on hot. But I try to do character building activities for my child.
As every parent should.
And
you chose to be a parent.
Right? We like to go outside a lot. There's no, I hate the electronic devices at our house.
You know what's really funny about that you chose to be a parent thing? A while back we were talking about at work one day, people who call in for us to send police officers over to talk to their kids. And, you know, sometimes that's required. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But sometimes it's also because parents just don't want to parent.
Yep.
And we were just laughing, thinking, do you think they realize that we're sending, like, 24, 25-year-old kids sometimes over to parent their children for them? Because some of these officers are pretty young.
Yeah, you have to be, what, 21 to go through the academy?
Yeah, not that they're not, you know, professionals and they have the ability, but, I mean, you know, think about that. If you're standing there as a 40-something-year-old individual.
Right.
I'm just saying the helplessness.
Those calls, seriously, like, that always boggles the mind for me. I'm like, when I take those calls, can you tell my 9-year-old that he has to go to school? Bitch, what? You get out the chancla and you hit him upside the head and you tell him he has to go to school.
But we can't say things like that.
I know. I wish we could.
But the first agency I dispatched for, I could say things like that back in the day. Because I've been doing this for like 17 years. And I had the mom who said that exact thing. You know, can an officer come tell my child to go to school? And I said, well, can you pull his ass out of bed and throw him in the car and drive him there?
Right? Like, why? What happened to being a parent?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
But kids are kind of, there are some kids who are like brutal these days. So, I don't know where they went wrong. But
so my son, I mean, I'm not sure where he gets his quick wit and charm from.
Oh, I know.
So today, just today, the husband is telling him, like, we're all sitting there together and he just looks at both of us. He's like, you two, I am on my last nerve. And my son says, mostly my mom's fault.
Oh my gosh.
And I say, yeah, you're probably not wrong, but you're just the icing on the cake. So that's right. My mom's the cake and I'm just the icing. What kind of cake are we, mom? Chocolate or vanilla?
Oh my pills.
You little shit.
Well, he comes right, honestly. You do have to admit that.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably my half.
He's adorable. He really is.
I mean, it's a good thing because it's a little too late to give him back, but
And you wouldn't.
No.
Even if you could.
Honestly, no. Even on the hardest days, like, I just, like, more than life itself. I love this little monster. And he doesn't look a thing like me at all. Like, he has no physical characteristic, does not resemble me whatsoever. He is a clone of his father. Has been since he came out, is till this day, and he's 8 and a half. But, man, when he opens his mouth and says shit like that, I'm like, there's mommy.
Yep, there's my boy. You come here, sunshine. So funny. Let's go back to that mile marker thing on the freeway you were talking about, because it fascinates me how many people have no idea where they are when you ask them, where are you? No idea. I took a few calls this week of people calling in reckless drivers.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah. People, we want the reckless drivers off the road as much as you do, trust me. If you think you're following a drunk driver, please give us a call. But please know where you are. If you can't tell me where you are and the direction you're traveling and a description of the vehicle, I'm not sure what you want us to do. You know, I really can't tell my officers this will be a vehicle on the freeway, possibly traveling southbound. It's light in color. It was a sedan, maybe an SUV. No plate information. Happy hunting.
I wish we could. That would just be fantastic. I had somebody call in a reckless driver one time because this guy was picking his nose and didn't have both hands on the steering wheel.
Oh, my heavens.
You know, we always ask, what are they doing to be reckless? And usually it's, well, they can't maintain a lane. They're just speeding. They're passing people on the shoulder, not using blinkers. You know, I feel like that's the pretty standard. But no, this lady was like, oh, he's picking his nose. And I'm like, excuse me? Oh, he doesn't have both hands on the steering wheel. And I was just like, oh, okay.
You're like, and then?
Right.
You're like, even today on my way to work when I was trying to eat my dinner before, right? I got here.
Yeah.
You know, here's another one that I distinctly remember. This female called in. She was involved in an accident, again, on the freeway. There seemed to be a lot of issues on freeways. I get it. Sometimes you're not really paying attention to where you're going. You know, you're just jamming to your tunes or whatever. And you don't know exactly where you are. But you should at least know which direction you're traveling. You know, she was able to tell me which freeway she was on. So I asked, are you northbound or southbound? She said, I don't know. So I had a general idea from my map where she was. And I picked a major city towards the south end of where she was, a major city towards the north end. And I said, were you headed here or were you headed there? I don't know. How do you not know? Where were you going?
Well, yeah. What
when
was
you
destination?
Left your house? Do you just get in your driveways, you guys? I mean, get in your cars and just drive aimlessly? I'm not sure what's happening. Why you can't tell me that, but... People have huge directional problems. Is there an essential wheel for that?
I know. There has to be.
There's got to be something. People, do something.
I don't know. I'm still waiting on my giant bath of lavender oil.
Ooh.
That I can dip myself in while I sip my diet on pebble ice and become immortal.
That sounds delicious.
So far.
Not working so far. But you know, we just have to laugh it off when we hang up, because those are the calls that make the harder ones.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, just easier to...
It balances out.
Yeah.
When you get that, like, mental palate cleanser.
Right.
Of the...
Right. But speaking of funny calls, let's close this up with a little segment we're going to call, You Just Can't Make This Shit Up.
I think that's a good one.
Are you ready? Because I'm going to go first today, and okay. I found you a beaut.
Oh, hit me.
A beaut, Rebecca. This happened in the little burg of Flippin, Arkansas.
Ooh, it's already starting off good.
Okay. An Arkansas woman was facing multiple charges after police discovered that she was wearing a bag of methamphetamine disguised as a bow in her hair. She was arrested in the city of Flippin after being pulled over for driving with expired tags, according to her arrest affidavit. Flippin' police officer Kenneth Looney.
Oh, it just keeps getting better.
Noted that Kropp initially failed to stop and drove through a nearby neighborhood before eventually pulling over. He discovered that she had 5 warrants out for her arrest.
Weird.
Right? As I was detaining Jessica Kropp, I observed what appeared to be a bow in her hair, the arrest affidavit states. The bow appeared to be in a small Ziploc bag containing a white crystal-like substance of suspected methamphetamine.
Oh my god.
Looney described the bag as having a small rubber band around the middle, giving it a bow shape, and added that it was attached with a bobby pin. He said it was placed on the right side of Kropp's head, attached to her hair. He said, "Are you serious?" She said, "What?" And what did she say?
"I'm gonna go with, it's not mine. How yeah. did that get there?
I didn't know that was there. That's not mine." Because, of course, I don't know how many times I've had mysterious bows of meth placed on my head.
Right? I hate when that happens.
People, you can't make it up. Some of the stuff that goes on out there, some of the calls that we deal with, I just can't wait to share more of our lives with you.
It's gonna be good.
But you know, along with that, just love and appreciate one another, people. That's the biggest thing. Let's change the way society's headed. Be grateful for any public servant. God bless the man who picks up my garbage every week, because I don't want to do that job.
Mm-hmm.
God bless all of you for the contribution that you make to our world. And, you know, thanks to the pilot who flies my plane when I want to go somewhere, because that's also nothing I've ever wanted to do. They give that to the surgeon that has the ability to cut someone's body open to heal them, because no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why we have the ability to do what it is we do, but I'm glad I get to do it with you.
Same. And people, please, if you could, just answer our questions and know where you're at.
It's really not that much to ask. All right, until next time, you guys take care of each other.
Bye, kids.